Do you know the number one thing that surprises engaged couples? Take a guess. The sheer amount of decisions they have to make while planning a wedding. Indoors or outdoors? How many guests? Are kids invited? Controversial. Which cake flavor? Seriously, how do you even begin to figure out what's right for you? That's where Zola comes in. Zola has everything you need to make every wedding decision a piece of cake, from choosing your dream wedding venue and vendors to deciding how to best spend your budget. With tons of customizable wedding websites, save the dates and invites, every detail will feel like you. Zola will even help you choose the gifts, experiences, and cash funds you really want. The next thing you know, you've planned your whole wedding all in one place. From getting engaged to getting married, Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Oh, welcome in. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Annie Fry today and looking forward to spending some time with you. There's no Ryan Wiggins. There's no Brad. So that means I'm very lonely, and I have instructed producer Ethan here to open up the phone lines. So if you want to call in today, I would love to hear from you. Maybe it's something we haven't done in a long time. Talk. So if you want to reach the show, phone number is 314-241-9797. And I know that the Annie Fry Show, when they, I'll tell you what, Annie, she gets her hands full with Brad and Ryan Wiggins, but hopefully we can have some fun as we get into this Friday and spend some time together. And good old Ethan's messaging me whenever someone calls in, so I'll be able to see it on this end. I have a conspiracy that I wanted to run by you. I don't know if it's a good conspiracy or a bad one, but if you want to hear my conspiracy theory, I'm going to try to make it as plain as possible in this one. And we know that President Biden, during his time in office, spent like half his presidency in vacation mode. He was always in the beach. And in some cases, who knows what he's doing behind the scenes? The odds of him doing nothing, staring out the window and watching the birds, very high chances of that happening, even the times he was at the White House. We know that he wasn't meeting with his advisors. We know that there were some senior high-ranking officials that would say, oh, I haven't seen him in months. We know that they would disappear for long periods of time and no one would hear from them, mostly hands off. And who knows if he's even looking over or signing these bills that come to his desk. I'm sure it's just his advisors that slide something in front of him. I'll tell you what, though, if you took a document that Joe Biden sent to, let's say, your bank, and they looked at it and it was, oh yeah, we're signing everything over to you, your bank would say, we need to run a quick competency test to make sure this person knows what they're signing. here's my conspiracy theory of what's going on. So Biden's going from one vacation to another. It was determined earlier this month that he's heading over to Italy. One last visit out that way. I don't know how many family members are going with him, but just taking advantage, I guess, of the last opportunity to hitch a ride on Air Force One for free on the taxpayer dime. So he's going to Italy, and we know that he's going to meet with the Pope. My theory is he did all of these clemency deals to try to say, hey, look, Pope, I'm trying to make it good, man. You know, time is not on my side. I've spent a lot of years on this earth. I know I don't have a lot of time left. So look at what I did. I did something good here, right? Could you put in a good word for me with the big man? I think this is Joe Biden's way of trying to make amends for some of the problematic things in his life, things that he shouldn't have done. We'll put it that way. And I think if we were to stack up all the things in life that we should or should not have done, I got a pretty big stack too. I'm not trying to say that I don't. What I'm trying to say is I don't have the ability to go to the Pope. And if you think the Pope is necessary, then you must have a lot of stuff stacked up. That was my conspiracy theory, but I'll tell you what's not a conspiracy theory. And then something else that came up most recently that I just saw not that long ago. Spy bosses, quote, silenced Defense Department FBI scientists from briefing Biden on the COVID lab leak evidence. I think there is so much more that we need to know about what happened during COVID. I think what we really need to do is be 100% sure we don't abuse government powers like we've done before. And much like Elon Musk when he bought Twitter, he opened up the emails and said, we're going to let journalists go over everything. And Matt Taibbi, I would say his name wrong, I apologize, but he would say things like, okay, let's take a look. He did a report, documented the abuses, reported the abuses, talked about the abuses that government had with the tech companies, the way that they bribed them. He saw it firsthand. He reported, here were the problems. All of a sudden, tech companies are like, oh, I guess we can't do that again. I would almost like someone like Matt to go back and read all of the emails that should be public anyway, but go through the COVID time and document as a journalist all of the abuses that we saw behind the scenes of things that shouldn't have been going on so the American people can see that too. I think that would be important. And what we find now is that, I don't know if it's a, hey, we can't trust Joe Biden with this, but on the New York Post, they have an exclusive report. Spy bosses silenced Defense Department FBI scientists from briefing Biden on COVID lab leak evidence, meaning the report concluded that the virus behind COVID was probably not genetically engineered. However, they kept lying to the people about it. I don't know why. But overall, I'm sure there's a lot of lies that were told to the American people that should be exposed, and the motivations of why they were lied to. I think those are all important parts. You know, I'd like to hear from you today. It's a Friday, 314-241-9797. And Daryl calling in from Jerseyville. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Well, I just wondered if when Trump takes office, that he'll be able to do anything with the U.S. postal system.
What in particular do you mean? Just them losing money or the service?
No, the service. Right now, you can't. I cannot depend upon the U.S. Postal Service any longer to get a bill or mail anything with any certainty that it's going to arrive on time or get where it's supposed to be.
It's interesting. Like from my own experiences, I've noticed that I don't have a consistent mailman anymore. It's always someone different. And when you have someone that's consistent, they get to know you, their house. Sometimes they can help with some of the mix-ups. But if you got the by committee stuff, I find there's a lot of mess ups. And did you see the price of a stamp going up again?
I understand that. And I'm not willing, I'm not above paying more for a stamp if I'm sure it's going to get there. But, here lately, I've had packages in Maryland Heights. I'll take, for example, I've got one right now that's lost, and it hits Maryland Heights on the 14th of December. And instead of coming on out to where it's supposed to be, they sent it to St. Paul, Minnesota. And what? I'm still trying. and it come back to St. Louis. It got back to St. Louis on the 21st, and it's dead on the water again.
Oh, I've seen that with international. Sometimes I've sent a package to another country, and they'll send it all over the place. It feels like a delay tactic, like they just overwhelmed. And, hey, you know what? We'll send it to the wrong place just to buy us some time so we can get things caught up over on this end. And then when it finds its way back to them, then maybe they'll be able to get it. But bad for you as a consumer, because then it adds a couple of weeks onto a delivery time that you probably don't anticipate to begin with.
Even my electric company sends them out the first of the month, every month, and it's usually I get them about a day or two before they're due on the arrear charges start. So I've, at the last 3 or 4 months, I've been calling the power company and the water company as well and getting the amounts and mailing them up before I ever get the mail through the bill through the mail.
I got to tell you, go electronic. Why are you not doing your bills electronically?
I'm an old man and don't trust the electronic system.
I get that, though. There's a lot of reason to distrust it. Okay, the post office is losing a ton of money. They've lost money for a long time. I remember during the first presidency, Donald Trump mentioned that. I don't know if there's going to be much change there. I haven't heard much in reform for the post office. I don't think they're going to give them more money. I think they're going to have to find ways to adapt. And as long as that happens, I don't think your service is getting any better, Daryl. Sorry about that. But good hearing from you, and Happy New Year to you. Here's the phone number, 314-241-9797. Marge is calling in. Marge, hello.
Good morning. How are you doing? I guess it's
great
afternoon.
Good to hear from you.
I just heard your comment about the Biden going to the Pope and maybe asking for forgiveness for all these clemency and pardon.
I don't think it's asking for forgiveness for using the clemency. I think it's asking for forgiveness because, and I don't want to be morbid, but you get to a certain point in your life where you want to make things good. You know what I mean? I think that's what he's trying to do.
Well, that may be true, and I may agree with you, but I wonder, do you think he'll say anything about the abortions he's been supporting? I mean, it seems to me like the only executions he supports are of fetuses not yet born.
You know, there's a lot of things
nobody,
that I'm sure he's endorsed.
And nobody brings that up. In all the pundits I've heard in the last week, nobody says anything about that.
About the clemencies versus abortion. You know, I spoke to a guest, and I do a lot of fill-in talk shows now, Marge. So I was on another station, and I asked them specifically about this, and he made a fantastic point. His point was, if you're, let's say, Joe Biden, you're saying you're doing this because you're a strong Catholic and you morally disagree with the death penalty, so you're offering clemency to those on the federal, then why did he exclude some people? So there's three that were excluded because the crimes were so heinous. If it's a moral standpoint, you would have offered clemency to all of them, but he didn't. What does that
Correct.
Say?
Again, that's exactly my point.
It's a political thing. And part of it, too, Joe Biden, I think, this is what you saw immediately after clemency was offered. You found that organizations like the NAACP and some of these others said that this was, it's, you know, death penalty is racist. So it's oversampled to those of color and disproportionately sentenced that way. So thus the death penalty in courts are racist. Thus Joe Biden doing this is a way to move towards racial equality. So again, I think there's a political aspect to this that he may have been more motivated by than morality.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure it's all political. The man has never done anything that wasn't political.
I don't know if that's true. I would say that. Yeah, I would say that. Here's the best defense for Joe Biden. I'll just offer one. Not that I need to. He doesn't know what's going on anymore, Marge. He has no idea what's up. So I think that maybe he's not thinking in the political realm. He's past that point in his career. So he's checked out a long time ago. That would be the best defense for him.
Well, I think there's no defense for him, but that's very good.
I get it.
My opinion. Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year to you and Merry Christmas to you, Mark. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's good to hear from you. Yeah, there's a lot of these last minute offers that places around the country. And there's this one doctor in Seattle. Speaking of, you know, the abortion and some of these other things that were highly contested political talking points during this last election. And of course, abortion was one of them. If you remember very correctly, the Democrats said, hey, if you don't vote for Kamala Harris, women, all your rights are gone. I mean, we might as well pack up and go to some of these predominantly Muslim countries where women have zero rights. And if they catch you without a headscarf, they'll throw you off a building. You know, that's the mindset. If you vote for Donald Trump, you're going to be stoned in public. That was their type of thinking. So when they found out, well, wait a minute, I've been lied to. That's not going to happen. It kind of backed up on that rhetoric a little bit, but the distrust for the people that spoke that way are still there. Here's what we're finding. There are some things, and kind of in that vein of abortion, that there are people that are working full steam ahead. And one of which is a doctor in Seattle. This doctor in Seattle is rushing to do surgeries for trans people, including minors, before Trump's inauguration, saying that I need to fit in as many as possible, because if I don't work like crazy in right now, then I might not be able to do trans surgeries in the future. Let's listen to, there's an advocacy group that put an ad together to try to point out just how much harm is done when you mutilate a child's body irreversibly. And this is the ad group called Do No Harm, is the nonprofit organization trying to draw some attention to this one doctor in Seattle. Let me play this for you. I was kind of
child
shocked.
Sex change surgeries are dangerous, destructive, and irreversible. So why is one doctor on a mission to conduct as many of these horrific procedures as possible? Dr. Javad Sajjan has charged for nearly $2 million in claims for surgeries on 120 kids, some as young as 7 years old. He brags about performing the best top surgery for minors and is pushing to do as many of these irreversible surgeries as he possibly can, all while reaching millions of viewers on social media with his own damaging propaganda. This is not care. It's immoral. Sajjan has been sued for unlawfully manipulating reviews of his practice and was forced to pay $1.5 million in restitution to 21,000 families whose worlds were turned upside down with these life-altering operations. Doctors like this aren't looking out for our children. They're profiting off their backs. It's time to stop the madness. To learn more, visit stoptheharmdatabase.com.
So you get the idea. So they create this ad in... they draw attention to doctors that are full steam ahead when it comes to mutilating these poor children's bodies. So going back to what we were talking about, and I know Marge is the one that brought it up, but when you bring up abortion as a topic and you bring up this past election, and they'll say, oh, no, you're just, if you elect this lousy Donald Trump, not only will the world end and Hitler will be in office, but women will be stoned in the streets and you won't be able to say anything on social media because the dictatorship won't allow you to. And movies will be banned from the theater because it will have messaging that doesn't compliment Donald Trump. You know, they said all of these crazy things during the election, when in reality, what you're finding is that we're still ushering in practices of mutilating children's bodies. And some people even celebrate it, and some people are doing their best to make sure they can get in as many as possible. This is the stuff that people really wanted to stop. They didn't believe all the nonsense that was propagated to them in this, you know, propaganda. But what they did believe, and what they truly believe, is that there are some things you have to do in order to protect children, one of which is not allow doctors to irreversibly harm them through these type of surgeries, which actually do happen. This is the reality. And that's why people, I think, voted for Donald Trump, to try to put an end to some of these terrible practices that we do see. I don't think he's going to be able to do much about abortion. I think his stance on it is it's a state issue, so it's up to the states. And I think that's about as good as you're going to get when it comes to this sort of thing. And hopefully more states realize and wake up to the fact that, you know, all things considered, you're ending a human life. So should you be in the practice of doing that to an innocent child? I'm going to open up the phone lines at 314-241-9797, 314-241-9797. I'd like to hear from you. And if you want to do me a favor, call in and pick a number 1 to 32. I could use a couple of people doing that in my next segment. It'll all make sense in the next segment. If you can just pick a number between 1 and 32, we'll take some of your calls after the break. I'm Ryan Renker, filling in for Andy Fry. Welcome back. And producer Ethan, who's picking the music today? Is that you?
Yeah, that's me.
Okay, I am Iron Man. I haven't heard that song in a long time. For a moment, I thought it was the song that I forgot who it was, but instead of being I Am Iron Man, it is I Am Santa Claus. And I thought you were playing the Weird Al version. It's not Weird Al. Is it Rivers? It might have been him, but I thought you were playing the I Am Santa Claus version.
I'm not sure if I've ever heard that before, but I can tell you this. If it were to play, it would normally play, if the whole crew was here, that would be one that would play during a Wiggins America segment.
Gotcha. I think it was Bob Rivers. He's the radio guy. He was a morning show host out in Seattle for a long time, but yep. He made these songs. I thought it was at the I Am Santa Claus. If you've never heard it, it's worth looking up if I were you.
Well, you gotta mix things up when Annie's not here. So that's what's going on today.
Oh, what you're saying is you can get away with things when Annie's not here?
Well,
is what you're
Annie
trying to tell
gives me? Annie pretty much like took off the leash for me when it comes to picking out music. But there also is an awareness of what she likes and what she doesn't like. So she trusts me, but I also am kind of aware of what she doesn't like, and I can tell you that she is not a Black Sabbath fan.
Okay, so you save it for when she's not here.
Yeah, exactly. There's songs that you can kind of get away with when she's not here.
I guess I'm not picky with the music, so it doesn't really bother me, whatever it is. I think the older you get, that you care less about music. When you're younger, you felt like it was part of your identity.
Well, Ryan, that's just because you're just a chill guy. You're a chill guy, Ryan.
What does chill guy mean? It means that I don't care about things?
No, it means you go with the flow and you can adapt and adjust.
Yes. No, I don't know if it's so much that. I can adapt. I can adjust. I just don't care enough to object. This is what I found the older I get, and I'm sure there's people listening that are exactly this way. I found that it's not worth arguing with people anymore. It's not worth caring about stupid things anymore. My ability to care about things has hit an all-time low. When you're younger, things like, hey, I need to identify with my favorite radio station's music and I'm going to wear their t-shirt. Or you go to a concert and you wear the band shirt and you got to let everyone know, oh my goodness, they're the greatest band ever. I love whatever. And all other music's garbage. And when you're younger, you start thinking that way and you care about it so much. And then when you get older, it's about politics. Oh, I just love this guy so much. Oh, I just then. And I tell you what, after 2016, 2020, and now 24, my ability to hear people's opposing takes and to have any feeling towards that is close to zero. I can listen to it. It doesn't affect me at all. And I move on with my life. I don't ever think about whatever they said ever again.
Fair enough.
It is gone. So right before the break, I asked for you to call in and give me a number between 1 and 32. The number to call here if you want to reach the show, 314-241-9797. I don't know if Annie Fry talked about this, but this seems like a perfect Ryan Wiggins topic. The Festivus Report 2024 is out. And throughout the years, you would have someone like a Rand Paul put together a report of the wasteful spending that happens inside of our government. We have so much money we waste on projects that are quote unquote scientific or done for the benefit of another country, that we will neglect our own needs as a country in order to provide and help others in other countries that aren't citizens with our taxpayer money. And these politicians that we elect into office, you want them to be fiscally responsible. You want them to look after what's best for the country. And you had a Donald Trump that would say, put America first, make America first, and make America great again. He had very simple slogans that meant a lot. And you understood what those slogans were. But you have politicians that'll go in there and still throw out money and throw out money and throw out money. This is an example. So when Russia first invaded Ukraine, I said, we got to do everything we can to help Ukraine. And we thought, you know what, with our help, things are going to go fine. Just like you probably thought about with Afghanistan when Afghanistan started. We got to do everything we can to get these terrorists out of here. And we got to fight. We got to help. And what we realized very quickly was the end game was not possible. It was us throwing money into a burning pit. Joe Biden said, well, if that's the case, let's just withdraw. Forget about the consequences of it. Let's just do it. And it was one of the most shameful moments of any presidency when he withdrew from Afghanistan the way that he did. So that was an oopsie. So I think now we look back at Ukraine and we say, well, we can't just stop our support for Ukraine. We're going to continue to throw more and more money onto this sort of thing. And the older I get, I think about how much further we are into debt. We keep printing money and we're got to find ways to offset if we're going to help other countries offset it, maybe by pulling back support in other places. If we are going to help Ukraine, we have to do it in a way that would be responsible. And this is how you do it responsibly. It's a very simple plan. You tell other countries, you got to throw in as much money as we do, and we'll match whatever country is going to throw the most in. So if a country is only going to throw in, I don't know, 20 million, 20 billion, whatever, then you say, okay, that's the most. We shouldn't be leading the way in Ukraine. We should basically say, other countries, we need to pot our money together, help them, but we're not doing this forever. Okay? So the older I get, the more I realize, even foreign wars and things like that, I'm getting sick and tired of. Even things that I know that I'm on the same side as, I'm even more on the side of using our tax dollars to stay here in America. So at some point, you're going to have to cut it loose. I get it. That's why what's really appealing to me is this Department of Government Efficiency, this DOGE that you have Vivek Ramaswamy and Elon Musk going through the budget and making recommendations of things that we can cut. It'll take congressional work to do so. It's going to take people that actually can slash this stuff out of the budget. But I think drawing attention to some of the wasteful spending will go a long way. And I think that eventually you're going to get some pretty strong benefits from it over time. Maybe not all done in 1 year because the budget is so large, but if you can do $1 trillion now and $1 trillion next year, that's pretty impressive, right? Or over the course of 10 years, even $1 trillion. So let's look at where we are right now as a country. In this latest report that Rand Paul put together, the Festivus report, there's highlighting a whopping, $1.008 trillion of government waste, including ice skating drag queens, Las Vegas pickleball complexes, Ukrainian influencers, and more. And in this report, it only took 32 items itemized to find $1 trillion+ of waste. So what we're going to do is have you pick a number, 1 to 32, and I'm just going to cut it out of the budget. And I'll tell you how much money you saved America. So Jason takes 18. All right, let me go down to 18 here. 18 is right here. Goalpost and grandstanding. Department of State spent $345,000 on football engagement to counter tourism. The Department of State, $345,000. Congratulations to you, Jason. We're going to cut that out of the budget. You just saved American taxpayers that much money. Richard goes to 17. This one is hashtags to handouts in Ethiopia. Department of State spent $500,000 to expand the U.S. Embassy in Ethiopia's hashtag U.S. Invest in Ethiopians social media campaign to a larger national public relations campaign. Congratulations to you, Richard. We did it. Because of your cutting of the budget, we just saved $500,000. That is very, very nice. Michael is on the line. Michael, thank you for calling into the Annie Fry Show. Good to hear from you.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you doing?
Good.
So I'm listening, and I definitely agree with you as far as being fiscally responsible. But I'm also wondering, are we going to also hold the next administration accountable as far as their plans and their policies? Because you mentioned Donald Trump, but you didn't address the potential of the increase for his tariffs and increasing the deficit by $5 to $8 trillion. So I'm just wondering, are you going to be consistent and hold him accountable for that as well? Because I know right now you're going over Western budgets prior, but are we going to hold him accountable? Because the last administration he was in, he increased the deficit by $8 trillion.
Yeah. Okay. So pandemic spending aside, but let's look at the thing I disagree with when it comes to Donald Trump. I don't like raising the debt ceiling. I've talked to a lot of economists about this, and this is what the economists say. The debt ceiling's stupid. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't have a debt ceiling. You should spend whatever you want. That's what economists say. I think that is the stupidest strategy, because Congress and politicians are irresponsible, and if you give them the opportunity to spend more, they will. So that's where I'll say I disagree with Donald Trump when it comes to spending. Now, on the tariff side, I'm going to go back. I'll answer your questions, but on the tariff side, totally disagree what they say about the tariffs. I don't think these tariffs are going to add what these people are doom and glooming right now. I think that is totally overblown. I think what they are doing is just trying to scare people right now. And it was a big scare tactic during the presidential election.
I think that one of the biggest downfalls is that there are people who are economists that are non-biased. Right. And when there's news that may not go for which party size, whatever it is, they deem them to be biased. Right. As a country, we've settled our budget and our deficit before when Newt Gingrich was the House Speaker and Bill Clinton was the president, because we worked together. And I hope that we remember that and go to the mindset, because you just said before that when it comes to politicians that just spend money. Well, you and I both lived in the era where we had a surplus, right, before 9/11. So it is possible for us to solve our budget and to be fiscally responsible, even though there are Democrats and Republicans, if we act as adults and we work together as a country. And like you say, we put the country first. So, you know, I really don't buy into the fact as far as when it's bad news, oh, they're biased, they're Democrats, or it's from this administration or whatever. Someone is a professional, and that's their craft. And, if, you know, when we go to the doctor, we count on them to be a professional and non-biased and their expertise. Someone's got to be the expert here.
Okay. Oh, thank you very much, Michael. I appreciate the call. It's good to hear from you.
Thank you.
This is what I'll say about that. I would say that we have been told to trust people we shouldn't have trusted in the past. We don't have to take people for their word when you know that their intention is ill. And we've seen over the past 8 years during the Trump administration and the Biden administration, people will say whatever they want to get the reaction they want. And what we've seen is Donald Trump, one of the biggest targets of lies, just because they hate the man. And how many times have we've seen after the fact revisions to make up for the things they said that were inaccurate? Never. They never go back and they never apologize for when they're wrong. So I don't think you have to take experts just for the sake of them calling themselves an expert to believe them at face value anymore. I think the ability for me to just trust people because they tell you to trust them, I'm past that. I'm not buying that anymore. 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. There was, I think this was on Fox News. Let me bring this up real quick. Yes, it was a Georgia representative, Buddy Carter, was on Fox News, and they were talking about some of the different wasteful spending programs. This is the host setting it up and just itemizing some of the things that stood out to her. Let's play that one clip here.
Here are some of the things they found. More than $2 million for border security for Paraguay, not the U.S., $20 million on a new Sesame Street show in Iraq, $10,000 to support a climate change-focused ice skating show that, by the way, featured drag queens. Kentucky Senator Rand Paul's annual Festivus report showed over $1 trillion in needless government spending he says can be axed immediately. Some of the more egregious spending includes $12 million spent by the Interior Department on a pickleball court in Las Vegas, $2 million Health and Human Services grant to study kids looking at Facebook ads about food, $3 million for the Department of State to spend on girl-centered climate action. Oh, that was spending was in Brazil, Congressman. You know, and Rand Paul also, by the way, he did say on Fox and Friends, he said, look, he believes the DOGE can help limit and draw attention to spending. But he said to Fox and Friends, quote, the responsibility lies on Congress.
It's true. All right. Here's
what
he says.
And that's why we have the DOGE caucus, because remember, Vivek and Elon, they're great businessmen, obviously very successful, obviously very smart. And we need them. We need them to identify the waste, fraud and abuse. But it's going to have to be us in Congress who take it one step further and who change it, because we are the ones with the authority. They're not really going to have any authority. Yes, they can point out problems to us, point out where the waste, fraud and abuse is and where we need to tighten up. But we in Congress are going to be the ones who have to follow through on that.
All right, this is good. So let me put it this way. This happens in radio stations and other businesses. They'll bring in a quote-unquote consultant. Have you seen that? Oh, boy. We've got to bring in the consultant. And they'll pay someone to come in, and they'll look around, and then they'll give recommendations on how to improve the company. Why do they bring in a consultant as opposed to management making their own decisions? Or why do they bring in someone from the outside? It doesn't have to be like someone that's not a, I guess, a consultant, meaning from another company. It could be someone from the same company, just not working in that location. Why do they do it? Well, when you have some sort of outside entity working on something that's on a different entity, they seem to take the personal nature out of it. They will separate the emotions that may go in on office drama, and what they will do is put a plan that is the best plan together. And I think that's why sometimes you need an outside person. In this case, not someone from the Senate or from the House of Representatives. You need someone that will take care of this in an unbiased way. You may say that Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy are not perhaps unbiased. When I use unbiased in this term, I mean not able to cut things from the budget themselves. They have no authority to cut things from the budget themselves. But when you take someone from Congress like a Rand Paul, he's a few and far between. They're not going to listen to him. He's been doing this report for years. These reports, these wasteful spending reports, Dan Coats used to do it, you know, when he was in the Senate years ago. They don't take their own colleagues seriously. They ignore it. You bring someone in from the outside, you shine a big light on it, there's more of a chance something gets done that way. Real quick, let's go to David from Winfield calling in. Welcome to the Annie Fry Show. Good to hear from you. Hi, David, are you there? No, I guess I don't hear you, David. That's okay. We'll catch you up after the break. Maybe there was a disconnection there. 314-241-9797 is the number. I'm Ryan Ranker, filling in for Annie Fry. I'd like to hear from you on 97.1 FM Talk. David from Winfield called in, and as soon as apparently we moved on, he heard the call, so I think we mixed lines there. Apologize. I don't know that country song either, Ethan, but I'll tell you, they jam in everything that a country fan would enjoy, right in a couple of different lines. That seems like they are. When I pretend I'm on the phone, just say all the words my dog recognizes. So like I'll be on the phone and I'll say, oh yeah, we're going to go to the park today. We're going to take a ride there, and I'll have bones and belly rubs.
Hey,
oh, there'll be squirrels too.
Lots of squirrels. Blake Shelton knows exactly what he is doing. Okay. I think it's the exact same way with country music fans where they hear a word and they're like, ooh, that song. I like that song.
Yeah, and it's exactly what I do to my dog with the buzzwords. Can you play the start of that song again? Because I feel like he's doing that to country listeners.
Give me one second here, and yeah, I'll get it going. Here we go.
Well, what he does is he says every buzzword a country fan would like.
Here. There's a gold dirt road to a whole lot of nothing. Got a deed to the land, but it ain't my ground. This is God's country.
There's the first G.
Yeah, that was it.
We pray for rain and thank you when it's falling, because it brings a grain and a little bit of money.
Money.
Yep, there it is. Yep.
I guess it's why one, they call it God's
one church town. Yeah. Yep. Okay, dirt roads, money. Okay, I've heard enough.
All so, we're really missing is beer and guns.
Yeah.
And girls,
getting,
if you want to throw
back
in a third.
Woman. Yeah. And. maybe it's just because I'm not that familiar with country music. My kind of country music is the kind that sings about eating at Applebee's.
What kind of country music are you listening to?
Yeah, fancy like Applebee's on a date night. That's my country.
You got some taste.
I got a fine taste in country. 314-241-9797. Fancy like Applebee's on a date night. That's my kind of country.
That is one heck of a line.
Yeah. So on MSNBC, I try to look at different takes. And I'll tell you, next hour, by the way, we're going to spend a full hour on the latest supercut dropped by Grabian. I tell you what, they do such good research and work. Guy by the name of Tom Elliott. And what they do every year, and they've done this since 2016, they put together maybe the 10 most egregious, cringy things the media either predicted to happen that never happened, lied about, in retrospect, love affairs of certain individuals. It really is cringe-inducing moments of media failure, and we're going to go through the top 10 moments of 2024 in the next hour. I think you're really going to like it. So on MSNBC, this is one of the things that, you know, it's a little bit cringy in this way because you think they would become more self-aware of their own shortcomings when it comes to this last presidential election backing Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. But in retrospect, they said, man, I don't get it. Joe Biden is so awesome. How come more people don't think he's more awesome? And their guest, Molly Jung Fast, was asked the question, okay, maybe it is because they hid him in a basement. Now, she doesn't say it that way. She says it a little bit differently. Let me play this.
One of the things that I've really seen was that I think one of the big problems in the Biden admin was not so much the policy, but the messaging, right? They didn't do...
Oh, so, but right off the way... The policy was magnificent. Love the policy. It was just they packaged the messaging. So how did they package it wrong?
But the messaging, right? They didn't do interviews. They weren't forward facing the way Donald Trump was. I mean, for 4 years.
They weren't forward facing, meaning they did no interviews. Joe Biden was hidden. Now, she's not going to say it that way. But they looked at it more or less as he didn't need to do them. He was hardworking. He was rolling up his sleeves. He's just a hardworking guy from Scranton, Pennsylvania. And he was just, hanging out with Corn Pop, working the lifeguard job, working for the working class. That's the Joe Biden. So he was too busy to do interviews. When in reality, we know the reason why he wasn't forward facing. The reality is he was incapable of putting a line of thoughts together. If you were to expose him to media that wasn't friendly to him, meaning were able to hide the fact that he was challenged and unable to do the job, then it would take only one bad interview for people to realize that he's not running the show there, and one bad interview for people to realize that he's incapable of doing that job. So they said the safe thing to do is we're going to hide him away, and we're just not going to let him go in front of a camera. And when he did, it was every single time he had an issue keeping the same train of thought. So she makes it sound like he was out there working so hard. That's why he was so unsuccessful. Like the media didn't have the time to get to know Joe Biden. was only in politics for decades, but people didn't get to know Joe Biden. Like, but he was so great in everything else he did.
Was, I mean, for 4 years, Donald Trump basically ran for president again, whereas Biden was not doing interviews, was very sort of, you know, careful about what he did, didn't do a lot of media. And I think that was a really big mistake because Trump sort of really took all the oxygen out of the room. So even though Democrats...
All right, so Donald Trump was friendly to the media. He can sit down and do a 3-hour interview without stopping to like a Joe Rogan. And that one interview with Joe Rogan had a bigger impact than anything Kamala Harris did the entire couple of months she was running for president. I think there's a lot of things you can look at. One thing is you made a mistake with Kamala Harris and you made a mistake with Joe Biden in not convincing him to step down sooner. You made a mistake in a lot of different aspects in your presidency. And unfortunately for the Democrats, it didn't work out. Your gamble to just let it ride because you thought people hated Donald Trump so much was going to pay off as a political strategy didn't work. Fortunately for the Republicans, people that were living in America understood things were not so great and they were lied to when over and over they're told things are wonderful. And the reality of the world was met with the lies of what people were telling them. And the same people telling them the lies were the ones telling them to vote for Kamala Harris because she was responsible for all these great things in their lives. And much like MSNBC goes to make this argument, all the things that Joe Biden was doing that was wonderful in their own lives. But none of that made sense because it was met with the real life implications of people struggling. So they went in the opposite direction. It's as simple as that. All right, I'm Ryan Recker filling in. And like I said, coming up in the next hour, we're going to go through the top 10 most cringe moments of media's failure this year.
Get more at 971talk.com.